Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Now, back to Melissa in the Morning. WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
It's no secret to try and find an affordable place to live in Connecticut is a tall task, to say the least. And for people seeking help from the state, the housing crisis isn't just impacting renters or buyers. A new report highlights worker burnout for housing caseworkers. Renee Dobis, who is the CEO of Connecticut Housing Partners, joins us back on the show. And Renee, this story that just surfaced yesterday from Connecticut Public Radio makes me ask the question, to what end? I mean, do you feel like we've hit a point where political division has to stop getting in the way of common sense solutions for the housing crisis in Connecticut?
Yes, I do believe that. And good morning, everyone. I am very frustrated with Hartford. You know, as I work with the different politicians, there is a lack of political will. But, you know, I keep grinding away at it. I keep talking to people. And that's the way you kind of break through and get the ears of people who really matter so that they can make good decisions, because they need to be informed just like any other person needs to be informed so they can make the right decisions. And I to talk about the worker burnout, I can tell you I see it with my own team. And so I've been working with my HR department, and what we're going to do and try to alleviate some of that burnout and try to have employee retention and not have turnover is we're going to compress our work week. And so we're going to have half the staff work Monday through Thursday and the other half work Tuesday through Friday so that everyone is afforded a three-day weekend so that they can recharge, because it's a really hard job. You're dealing with the public. You're seeing a lot of sad things as you're dealing with the public. And we have social workers on staff that are seeing a lot of sad things. And so they're really struggling. So we're going to try to help them. And our HR director came to us from a large housing authority, and they tried this at the housing authority, and it was very successful. And so we're going to try it with our small group of employees that we have. So we are trying to address it, and we do think it's very important to be recharged, because you have to be at your best when you're dealing with the public.
I love what you're doing, obviously, at the local level and hyper-focused on your team there for Connecticut Housing Partners. And for people who aren't familiar, Connecticut Housing Partners is a nonprofit organization. It's been around for over three decades here in Connecticut, and essentially it's been providing workforce and affordable housing here in the state, all across the state. And what's amazing is you're working with people, developers who are based right here in Connecticut. They are partnering with municipalities. They're doing amazing work. You know, I was thinking about you the other day, Renee, and I saw this article. I think it was in CT Insider. It was the house chair of the banking committee here in Connecticut. I don't know if you saw this article. State Rep Jason Duchette, I believe is how you say his name. He was talking about how he thinks Connecticut needs to invest in more programs. So he had highlighted, for example, it was the Connecticut Housing Finance Authority. They have this new time to own program, down payment assistance program for first time home buyers or people with low to moderate income. And I thought, OK, yeah. I see where you're getting at. And sure, we should be supporting the people who have to put a down payment in, for sure. But I also think we're missing this huge elephant in the room, which is we wouldn't have to help people, as many people per se, we wouldn't have to help people if we actually created affordable options for people. And so that part of the conversation never really got addressed. And that's why I go back to the idea of political division, that there needs to be compromise and there needs to not be a one way versus the other way. And instead, where do we address both sides of this? And I wasn't sure if you could comment on that.
Well, I think the most basic thing that people need to understand, that housing is a right, just like breathing air is a right and eating is a right. And so we have to come at it with that focus. We did have a win this week, and the win was that in 2022, the Fairfield Planning and Zoning denied a 63-unit affordable housing development in downtown Fairfield, and the developer went to court, and he won because the Planning and Zoning tried to state that the reason why they couldn't build this development was because it would overwhelm the sewage system, it would increase flooding, there was a narrow parking driveway, lack of parking spaces, poor visibility for vehicles leaving the building. And, you know, those are not legitimate reasons, because under our state law for 830G, if a municipality has less than 10% affordable housing, if a developer comes in and at least 30% of those units are affordable, they should be able to bypass some of the strict planning and zoning rules that are in the community. So how that some of them, not all, I'm going to say some, try to fight back is stating that there's infrastructure within the community that won't support the building. But the judge pushed back and said, you haven't demonstrated that it's a health and safety issue. So this development is going to be able to go forward. And so I'm really excited about that, because I'm now beginning to see that the legal system, the judges are seeing this for what it is. And this is the second one that got overturned in the past couple of months. So I'm really excited about that. So I think the more people start fighting against it and bringing common sense thoughts to the table, then the more affordable housing we're going to see being built. So I'm starting to see a tide, and I think it's because there's so many people talking about it. And then, of course, I'm hoping your listeners are thinking about it and talking about it with other people as well, because this is a really important issue. This isn't about the haves and have-nots. This is about creating a diverse economic viability for all of our communities and the economic health of our state. I want to remind everybody that last month I talked about how the state of Connecticut was ranked number one as the most unaffordable place to live in the United States. That's not a good ranking to have. So the more that this kind of data comes out, the more people are going to understand that there has to be a change in tide. And so I'm asking everyone, talk about it, think about it, and don't be afraid to have housing that's affordable in your community. It helps your community. It doesn't distract from your community.
So when we come back, we're going to continue talking to our housing expert on the morning show, Renee Dobas, who is the CEO of Connecticut Housing Partners. I have to say, though, Renee, I'm a little surprised at your answer, not totally, but a little bit, in talking about the reversal of that decision that a developer now will be able to create housing on, I believe it's like the Post Road area of Fairfield, not so much because it's going against the people who don't want to change the feel of their town or things like that, or didn't have proof that there was a safety concern. But to me, the bigger thing here is there's really no guarantee that we're actually going to create affordable options. At least that's not being told to me very clearly. So I do want to talk about that, which is, if we're seeing a change in the tide with reversing some of these decisions to, in fact, allow housing developments to go up, great. However, I'm still not seeing where we are guaranteeing any of these units going in are actually going to be affordable for the average Connecticut resident, and not just continue to make more money for the developer and sort of put a check mark that, hey, we're just creating housing and we're doing the right thing on the surface, but deeper, it's really not. I want to talk about that with you if we can. When we come back after traffic and weather here, I'm Melissa in the Morning.
You're listening to Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
We're chatting with our housing expert on the show, Renee Dobas, who is the CEO of Connecticut Housing Partners, a nonprofit that's been here in Connecticut for over 30 years. They've been creating workforce and affordable housing across the state for many, many years. And it really has allowed municipalities to work with them and local developers to create actual affordable opportunities for people, which we really, really need in this state. Renee, maybe I am missing something, so please feel free to correct me, but I was a little surprised at what you just said when I heard about the news in Fairfield. Of course, there are people in Fairfield who are not happy about it for, you know, for their own reasons. No judgment there. That's fine. So they overturned this decision. A developer now will be able to create a complex, essentially, I believe it's like in the Post Road area of Fairfield, the restaurant business area of Fairfield. And so, okay, I'm with you. If we could create housing, great. I don't need like the little things that get in the way, or I don't want to change the feel of my town. No problem. But the thing that I'm missing here, and I don't know this developer, so maybe you do, you know, enlighten me. That would be great. But I'm not seeing where we are actually making sure that we're creating affordable units in this complex. I mean, a substantial amount of affordable units. It, to me, it feels like developers are getting richer. And Connecticut just keeps, you know, kind of saying, hey, we covered it. We got it. We're creating it. We're hitting our quota. But people are, as you just mentioned at the top of this, people overall in the country are saying Connecticut is, if not the most unaffordable state to live in. So I'm a little bit confused. Like when you say like this is a big win, I think it's kind of like, to me, it's a half win. But yes, we're seeing the tides sort of change, but I'm not seeing where we're holding developers accountable and saying you need to actually create complexes where people can move in. The average Connecticut resident could move in.
No, market rate developers are not being held accountable in that way. And so to me, any affordable housing unit or housing that's affordable is a win. So this is a smaller complex. It's 63 units. So 30% of them will be affordable and the rest will likely be market rate. And that's how a developer is able to kind of squeeze into the town. And it's oppressive to the town as well because they feel that they don't have any control. So I agree with that. What I've been trying to do with this state statute 830G, which states only 30% of the units are affordable, I've been pushing back in Hartford with legislators saying you need to make that percentage higher because if you make it high enough, market rate developers are not going to want to do it. But that's a double-edged sword too. So do we try to push the market rate developer out of business, out of that kind of business? You know, they can put in 30% and 70% are market. You know, or I wanted it to go as high as 50% because I think we need it. We need to be able to build more. So, you know, when COVID was here, the state responded to COVID as the crisis that it was.
Right.
We have a housing crisis, and the state is not responding to this crisis as it should. It's still being somewhat passive. Yes, they've thrown some money at it, but the train hasn't gone any faster. There aren't more units in the pipeline. You know, this through the Connecticut Housing Finance Authority, there's only 6,500 units over the next 3 years in the pipeline, which only doesn't even scratch the surface of the shortage of 100,000 units.
But see, that's what I find really funny, Renee, is so if you look at the headlines, it feels like in the last couple of years in Connecticut, it's like, oh, you know, affordable housing popping up here, a new complex popping up here, this place, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so the headlines to me are very deceiving because we feel like, hey, on the surface, Connecticut is totally attacking the problem. I think that people don't realize that that is not true. That's where I feel like I agree with you. You know, and obviously 830G, there are so many different ways that we need to look at and attack it. And I think that, again, political division gets so in the way. But I mean, even the idea of upping it to 50%, I mean, I do understand that there's like a pipeline thing where how does this affect the developer and are we going to drive people out? But this is where I feel like, you know, if we really understood, you know, Connecticut Housing Partners, for example, a nonprofit organization based right here in Connecticut, has been doing great work for 30 years. You have proven just in Fairfield County in the last couple of years, you've created complexes that are affordable. Why aren't we doing that? I mean, why not work with people like your entity, like local developers, people who actually want Connecticut to thrive and get out of this issue? I don't see where that's happening. I see developers coming in from New York City, again, getting richer, not really caring. And to me, we're driving people out of Connecticut. We're doing the opposite. I don't know.
Yeah. Yes. And I agree with you. And the other thing that I was starting to hear as I was talking to some of the legislators that, you know, I've been seeing articles about rent control, which would be a disaster, because all we have to do is look at New York City and see that rent control does not work. Because right. What happens is nobody invests in building any housing when you have rent control because they can't afford to.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really a big problem, and it needs to be tackled like the big problem that it is. And it really isn't. It's being focused on around the edges. That's my feeling about it. And
so do you feel like there needs to be more of a federal focus on it? Or do you feel like this is something Connecticut could be tackling regardless who gets voted in presidentially, regardless of what happens at the federal level? There are things we could be doing actively this minute.
Yes, I think Connecticut needs to tackle this as the state that it is. It's for its own economic growth. It should be part of their economic plan as they're trying to attract new business into the state. So, for instance, you know, I love this idea as well. I said, okay, so Amazon comes in and builds these giant warehouses. Why can't they partner with me, slice off a piece of land that they put their giant warehouse on, and give me the money to build affordable housing? You know, we should be pressuring some of these big businesses that are coming in to partner with us to build housing for their workforce. And, you know, they don't seem to be doing that and caring about that. So I've been talking to legislators about that as well, that they have to have it can't, you know, because, you know, Amazon's getting a huge tax break to come here. So you have to make it part of the package. You have to say, if you're going to come into our state, you have to help us build housing as well for the workforce that's going to be working with you.
Well, that's just it. It's going to benefit them, right? You want to have people who are going to move here and work for them and want to be here in Connecticut. But if we don't have anywhere to house them, they're not going to even have the pool of people to go for those jobs. So that's a really good point as well. Renee, I love getting your perspective. Thank you so much. She is our housing expert here on The Morning Show and the CEO of CT Housing Partners. You can check them out online as well for CT Housing Partners. Thank you so much. We're going to go to traffic and weather. You're listening to Melissa in the Morning.
This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits, Sharia, who's making progress with meds, and Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com. Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers. Watch it work.